can be seated. And go to John 14, and if you're using the church Bible there, it's page number 548. If you grabbed one of those on the way in, that'll take you there. Hey, just a reminder, March 21st, we're going to go to three services. And so we'll have an 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. This time we'll stay the same. But the biggest impact really for this hour is if you're watching online, maybe you might want to try that 8 o'clock if you're an early morning riser, because, of course, it'll be far less people. We'll be, you know, if you really want to socially distance and all that, 8 o'clock is a great hour to come. I'm sure it's going to be the least attended, but it's going to open up room because we are packed at our 9:30 service. And then also for this hour, the biggest impact will be for those online, because we're going to then move the online live broadcast from 11 to 9:30. So if you're watching online March 21st, keep in mind 9:30, the service time will move to. Of course, you can watch it anytime during the week also, but just want to let everybody know that, kind of keep you up to date there. And, you know, as we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I want to ask you a question. You know, you may be serving the Lord, and you may be volunteering, and you may be coming to church faithfully and going to a small group. But, you know, I really want to ask you a question. Are you growing and are you changing? Don't answer out loud, but I just want you to ask yourself, am I changing? You know, am I seeing growth in my life? You know, sometimes we come to church, we kind of go through the motions, and we sit here and we listen to the message, and we stand there, we sing. But are we growing and are we changing? Because that's what God wants. You see, that right there, you know, that fruit of the Spirit that you see behind me, that's where you need to be growing in. You need to be growing in your love. We talked about joy, peace. You know, you look at that patience, gentleness, goodness. These things are areas that we really want to grow and change. We don't want to stay where we're at. We want to grow and change. We don't want to be where we're at now a year from now. We want to see growth. Because is it possible? Let me ask you a question, church. Talk to me, okay? Is it possible to actually digress and become more immature? Yeah, you can become more immature in your faith. If you're not growing, you can go backwards. And so we want to be moving forward. We want to be moving in the right direction. Are any of us perfect? Oh, I'm glad y'all said that. Amen. All right. None of us are perfect. But we want to be at least moving in the right direction. We want to be growing. We want to be changing. We want to be moving in the right direction. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us ever will be. But we want to be growing and changing. We don't want to be where we're at now 5 years from now. You know, we want to keep growing in Christ, and we want to keep growing there. That's where God wants you to grow, is in the fruit of His Spirit. Now, we already talked about the first two. What are they? Number one is what? Love. Number two is joy. We talked about joy last week. Now, the third one on the list is what? Peace. And before we get into that, let me just say this. Everybody in life experiences conflict at some point. That's just part of life. You know, conflict with our spouse, or, you know, we experience, you know, conflict with, you know, at work. We experience conflict with our kids. We experience conflict, you know, with our parents. We experience conflict with our husband or our wife. Please don't say amen right there, okay? We experience conflict with in-laws. Don't say amen right there, all right? But we all have conflict. It's part of life. Not only this, we also have moments when we're stressed out. That, too, is part of life. Has anybody been stressed out at all this past week? Anybody been stressed out this morning? Trying to get here, right? Stressful moments are a part of life. But here's the problem. Many people's lives and hearts are kind of in a state of unrest on a regular basis. They don't just have moments of stress. They have days of stress, you know, hours of stress and months of stress and weeks of stress. And stress is kind of calling the shots in their life. And then that carries over into our relationships at home with our family, at work with our coworkers, and at really every place. Many times marriages are at the boiling point because of stress. There are many homes with good people, I mean, that love the Lord, But the house is, it's like when you, the home, many times it's like you're walking through a minefield. You're just waiting for an explosion to go off at any moment. You know, and that's not good. And it seems like, as Americans, that we have more things than we've ever had. But people have less peace. I thought about cell phones. I was thinking about cell phones a couple weeks ago. I wasn't even thinking about this message. But I was thinking about cell phones. I thought, think about all that cell phones do that you used to have to have something for. For example, your cell phone is your calendar. How many of you remember when it used to be very common to hang a monthly calendar on the wall and you turn up January and then you turn up February and then you turn... How many of you remember calendars? Raise your hand. All right. And you'd write on the little blocks what was coming up, people's birthdays, right? I remember I had a Green Bay Packers calendar. Man, I love that. You know, it's like this is your calendar. You know, you think about all that cell phones will do. This is your alarm clock. How many of you remember alarm clocks? You know. Maybe like I still got one. Yeah, this is your computer. Many people, this is your Bible, right? Now, me, I still like a hard copy. I want to write in it, feel it, you know. But some people, that's their Bible. That's fine. That's cool, you know. You think about yourself, that's your news. That's your thermometer for the weather. That's your filing cabinet. You think about, this is your encyclopedia. Anybody remember Encyclopedia Britannicas? If you were uptown, you had an Encyclopedia Britannica. If not, you had some off-brand of them, but you know. But yeah, you had a whole big shelf of encyclopedias A to Z, and if you wanted to know something, you pulled out the appropriate letter and you looked it up, right? That was what it was. And I remember a few weeks ago, I was wondering about a restaurant chain that is no longer around. I'm like, whatever happened to that restaurant chain? When I grew up, there was a restaurant chain called Burger Chef. Does anybody remember Burger Chef? And it's like they were really competing with McDonald's in the 70s as the top burger chain in the country. They were the first ones to ever invent the Happy Meal, you know, the kids' meal. And it was like they were innovative. They were coming up. I'm like, whatever happened to Burger Chef? Well, it used to be you went to your encyclopedias and you grabbed the B's and you looked up Burger Chef. Now all you do is you go, Burger Chef. And boom, 1 second later, everything there is to know about Burger Chef. Who started it? Who was the owner? Where did it start? You know, what led to its demise? You know, Burger Chef. That's all you do. Isn't it incredible all that your phone will do? So let me ask you a question. So because, you know, these do all those things, then our phones really should reduce stress and make our life more peaceful. Do they? The 9:30 crowd... I wasn't expecting it. There was this resounding, no! I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Does your phone give you a sweeter and deeper inner peace? Does it bring rest to your soul? Or is it a source of added turmoil and stress, possibly? And is there greater stress and expectation in your life because of your phone? You know, you think about all that we have as Americans. The stock market has just been going through the roof the last 3 or 4 years, and it just keeps going higher and higher, breaking all-time records. Do you think it's produced more peace in people? People have more choices of entertainment, and they have more choices, you know, more conveniences than they've ever had. Has it resulted in inner peace and peace in our relationships? You know, you look at the works of the flesh. You remember how we got the, look up here. You got the fruit of the Spirit, but right before that, he says, now the works of the flesh are these. And the works of the flesh, I'm bringing it up on the screen here. The works of the flesh are what you can produce apart from Christ. You know, I don't need Jesus, okay? He says, then without Christ, this is what you can produce in your flesh. And then he says, the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these. Adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. And then it's amazing the things on this list that stand in direct contrast to peace. He talks about hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies. It's like, man, these things are so toxic, and they stand in direct contrast opposition to peace. And these things will destroy peace. They destroy peace in your marriage, in your home, at church, at work, most of all, internally. I mean, these things are like internal wrecking balls. Then he says, right after he says this, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and what is it? It is love, joy, and what's the third one? Peace. Fruit of the Spirit's peace. God has called us to a life of peace. He's called the God of peace. And did you know that there are three dimensions? There's three dimensions to the peace that God offers us through Jesus Christ. And the first one is this. The first one is peace with God. This comes the moment that you trust Jesus Christ. When you believe that He died for your sins and you believe He is the Lord, resurrected from the dead, the moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're justified, we're made right with God by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no longer are you an enemy of God. No longer are you at enmity with God. The Bible says we are reconciled to God, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. There's another dimension to the peace God offers you through Christ, and that's peace with others. Peace with others. Now, this doesn't solely depend on you. This does depend on others because it's a two-way street. But when you get two people on the same page with Jesus Christ, you have peace with others. You get a husband and a wife on the same page with Jesus, both filled with Christ, there's going to be peace in that marriage by and large. You get a church and the members are on the same page as Christ, there's going to be peace in that church. There's going to be peace with others. But then there's a third dimension to the peace God offers us, and that's peace internally. That's peace with yourself. This is a big one, and you are in control of this. You're in control of that. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with yourself. Why are you in control of that? Why are you in control of your internal peace? Well, the reason why is because Jesus said that peace is there for His followers. It's there for the taking. Look at John 14 now. There's two verses. I hope you'll commit them to memory this week. Primarily, we're going to look at two verses here. The first one is in John 14, 27. Look at it with me. Jesus said to His disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Go to John 16. For me, I just turned one page, and I'm at John 16, last verse, verse 33. John 16, 33. Another verse that correlates with that one, Jesus speaking. He said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There's three things I see here about peace that Jesus teaches. Number one is this. I want you to write this in. And I really, can I just say this to you? I don't say this a lot, so I'm just going to throw it out there. You're going to get out of Sundays what you put into them. And what I mean by that is this. If you come and you are an engaged listener, and you are listening on purpose, and you're engaged and you're looking up the verses, and you got the handout, and if you'll take the handout home, study it this week, and I hope you'll memorize the two verses that we just read, and they're there in your handout at the top. Memorize those verses and really, really think about this. You're going to see your peace level go up. You're going to see the fruit of peace ripen in your life. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. And so I want to challenge you to really grab a hold of this thing, because stress is such a real deal, man, today. And everyone's stressed out, you know, and everybody's kind of like, you know, just uptight. And Jesus is like, no, I'm telling you, my peace, I'm going to give it to you. So the first thing I see here is this. Number one, peace is promised. And so I want you to write that in. Peace is promised. Clearly, he promises peace to his followers. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And he promised us that we could have peace. Notice John 14. Go back there now. Flip back to John 14, 27. And look what he says. Notice the wording. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So he says, I'm going to leave you my peace, and I'm going to give you my peace. Jesus is not going to lie, and he's not going to take back what he's promised. It is there for the taking. It is a gift from Jesus to us. I was telling the early service, I said, you know, some of you know Jonathan Schultz. He works on our staff here, and Jonathan's grandpa was named George Atwood, and George Atwood had a home with quite a bit of land, and he had a huge garden, and he grew stuff there, vegetables. And George, you know, I was talking about last week about how much I like okra, you know, and by the way, I got a hankering for okra after preaching that last week, and Denise made me a big old plate of it, and I ate every bite of it this week. And she's like, what do you want for supper? I said, I just want a salad and a humongous plate of okra. That's all I want. So that's what she made me, and I ate every bit of it. I was so full of okra, man. George Atwood grew okra, and he knew I liked it. And so George sometimes would come up to me, and he'd go, Pastor Dan. And boy, I knew what was coming. I said, yeah, George? He goes, well, I picked me some okra. He said, I got you a big old bag. He says, I'm going to give you a big old bag. He says, I'm going to leave it on your front doorstep. When George said he was going to give me okra and leave it at my front doorstep, I knew that meant I was going to have okra. Because George wasn't one to promise and not deliver. And George promised me that he would give it to me and leave it at my doorstep. I knew I had okra. Can I ask you a question? If Jesus said, I am going to give you my peace and leave you my peace, is Jesus going to lie or is Jesus going to tell the truth, huh? He's telling the truth. He promised peace. The Apostle Paul reiterated that promise to us later in the book of Philippians. It's such a key passage. I hope you'll memorize this week too. But look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It's in your handout. This is such an incredible passage. Look at it with me. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Anxious means you're full of anxiety. You're stressed out. He basically is saying there is no reason ever to get stressed out. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with gratitude, make your requests known to God. Then he says, and the peace of God, notice the promise here, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to underline those words, will protect. He says, I'm telling you, the peace of God will protect your hearts, right? Where does stress come from? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm going to promise you, God promises you a peace that surpasses all understanding. What that means is that it's kind of difficult to even explain it or rationalize it. Jesus alludes to this there in John 14. When he says, I'm going to give you a peace, and now listen, he says, not as the world gives. I'm going to give you a peace, not as the world gives. So that means there must be a false peace that the world can give people, and it's so true. People can get a false peace. It's like they think they're fine, and they're not fine. People can do wrong and have peace about it. Have you ever wondered how these people who scam senior citizens out of their bank accounts and out of their identity, have you ever wondered how these people who all day long are just making phone calls trying to scam people, you ever wonder how they can sleep at night? They sleep fine, probably. Because the Bible says you can sear your conscience. In other words, they can do wrong and, quote, have peace about it and sleep fine. You get people, they can steal some another person's wife. They sleep fine at night. You know, they sleep fine. They can steal from people. They sleep at night. You see, there's a peace that the world gives, but here's the deal. That kind of peace does not come from God. That kind of peace will not endure and last, and that kind of peace will lead to eventual destruction. The Bible says this, great example. Let's bring it up. 1 Thessalonians 5 here. Look at this passage. The context is the day of the Lord, the time when the Lord is going to bring judgment to the earth. And notice right before the Lord brings the hammer and the hammer falls, notice what people are feeling. It says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say what? Peace and safety. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He says that right before the Lord has to bring judgment to this earth, the prevailing attitude of people will be, we're fine. We're good. Hey, everything's great. And everything's not great. You see, they've got a false peace. But I'm glad to tell you, the peace that Jesus promised and the peace that Jesus gives and leaves with us is supernatural. It comes from within by His Holy Spirit within our hearts, and that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the peace that Jesus gives? It's a true peace. And that brings me to my next point. If you're taking notes, number two is Jesus taught that the peace that He gives, it's found in Christ. The peace of God is found in Christ. Notice, go to John 16. Let's turn over there again. Go over to John 16 and look at verse 33, that last verse there in that chapter. Now notice this. He says, I have told you these things. Picture, He's got His disciples around Him. He says, I've told you these things, guys, so that in Me, underline that, in Me, you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus says, you know where you're going to find peace? You're going to find it in Me. Well, Jesus ought to know, shouldn't He? Because look at the peace that He exhibited on the cross when He was taking His final breaths. I mean, you think about Christ, He was treated so unfairly. He was treated so brutally. But yet there He is on the cross with a heart of forgiveness, a heart of love, a heart of compassion. He's got concern for other people, even while He's dying. What peace. And that kind of inward peace of heart is so elusive for so many people. And the reason is very simple. It's because they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Jesus said the world can't give it. The world can't give you peace. Which means that peace cannot be bought and it cannot be purchased through the acquisition of things. People think that. They believe that. For example, people think, if I could just have a vacation. If I could just go to the beach, have a vacation, if I could just go to the Bahamas or the Hawaiian Islands, and if I could just chill and if I could just relax, then I know I'll have peace. And then you got to worry about getting packed, and then you got to worry about getting to the airport, and then you got to worry about, do I have my visa? Do I have my ID? Then you got to worry, and flying is not peaceful for me, okay? And then you get there, and you got to go to your motel, and then you get there. Well, sir, your room is not ready. What? And then all of a sudden, you finally get where you're going, and the kids are like, I want to do this, I want to do that. And the wife is like, well, I want to go over here. And the husband's like, all I want to do is I just want to go to the beach, sit in my lawn chair, and watch the ocean. That's no fun. You got to get back home to rest, amen? I'm all for vacations. But what I'm saying is, if you're looking for internal, eternal peace, don't expect a vacation to give that to you. People think, well, if I could just get my dream home, I'll have peace. If I could just get a house that's my dream home, I'll have peace. I want you to know, if I could get a house like that, I wouldn't have a care in this world. Really? That looks like a stress factory to me. You're worried about maintenance and upkeep and the lawn, and you're worried about the insurance and the taxes, and you're worried about this and that breaking down. Then you're worried that, that someone's going to bring some kids into the house and smudge up your floors and hurt your furniture. That looks like a stress factory to me right there. Your dream home isn't going to bring you peace. People think, well, you know, if I could just get my dream car, I would have peace. Man, if I had, I would never have another care in this world. Really. You're going to park a million miles away from every store you go to so nobody scratches it or dents it. You know, you're going to worry every time someone gets in the car that they're going to, you know, that they're going to hurt or smudge the interior of your car. You're going to worry every time there's a scratch or a dent. You're going to worry every time the insurance premiums come around on that. You're going to worry, and you're going to, you know, yeah, hey, if you're like me, you're going to spill coffee all over the inside, and you're going to freak out, right, trying to clean it up. Yeah, no. Would you guys agree with me? Things are not going to bring us peace. They're just not. They're just not. Things are not going to bring you peace. That's what's wrong with materialism. That's what's wrong with that. Materialism promises so much, but it doesn't deliver. It just creates more stress. And, you know, Ephesians 2:14, Paul said, Christ is our peace. Remember what we read earlier? Look up there at Philippians 4 again. And look at that passage up at the top of your handout. Can y'all look at the last three words and tell me what they are? Come on, everybody look at it. What's the last three words of Philippians 4, 6, and 7? Through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God is going to protect your heart and mind. Notice where peace is found. Through Christ Jesus. That's where peace is found. There's a little verse tucked away that a lot of people probably don't know, and you probably don't hear this verse preached on a lot, because it's tucked away at the very end of a little three-chapter book, and it's 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is a great verse. I hope you'll write that in your handout, and I want you to memorize that verse this week. Because when you are having a stressful moment, that's a great verse to bring up to your mind. Look what it says. It says, now may the Lord of peace, that's Jesus. He's the Lord. He's called the Prince of Peace in the Old Testament. Here he's called the Lord of Peace. And look at this. It's so rich. Now may the Lord of Peace himself give you peace always in every way. Isn't that amazing? He says that the Lord of peace himself is able to give you peace always in every way. What a incredible little nugget tucked away at the end of that book. I hope you'll memorize that. Man, that's amazing. That's a promise to claim right there. You're having this stressful moment. Somebody's just driving you crazy, or there's a situation that's driving you nuts, or you're on the phone and you're trying to get through to some company and you can't get a live person. Doesn't that drive you insane when you can't get a live person? And you know what? That's a time to be able to say, okay, wait a minute. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Holy Spirit can bring that to your mind. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. It's Christ and his words that bring peace to our hearts. A true peace, even when our hearts are troubled because of stress around us. Which leads me to the last point, and that's this. Number 3, Peace is possible through problems. That's what Jesus taught. Peace is possible through problems. Jesus told his disciples, he said, guys, look at John 16, 33 again. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Look at this. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's almost as if Jesus is he doesn't want them to misunderstand this thing about peace. And so he's like, guys, look, as long as you live in the world, there's going to be problems. In the world, you'll have tribulation. So as long as you're down here on planet Earth, you know, there's going to be problems. And so it's like he says, look, my peace that I'm offering you doesn't mean a perfect, trouble-free, pain-free life. Perfect life? No. But he wants them to know that a perfect peace is available, even through these difficult times. Perfect life? No. Perfect peace? Yes. His Spirit gives us internal peace and puts our hearts and our minds at rest. The world gives you false peace. Jesus says, no, I'm going to give you a true peace. In fact, you remember Jesus said, after I die on the cross, Jesus said, I'm going to go away to heaven. I'm going to ascend back up to heaven, but I'm going to send back my Spirit to live inside of you. And you know what's interesting? You know what two of the main functions are of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you? Two of the main purposes of His Spirit inside of you is to help us pray. Romans 8:26, He intercedes and helps us pray when we go to pray. And number two, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said right here in John 14, He teaches us truth and He reminds us of truth. Well, you know what? That matches Philippians 4, what we read earlier. You remember, if you look back up there, look at the top of your handout at Philippians 4, 6. Verse 6 is all about prayer. He says, you know, in everything, prayer, make your requests known to God. So verse 6, he talks about prayer. Well, what does he say in verse 8? Well, that's not in your handout, but I got it on the screen here behind me. You know what Philippians 4, 8 says? It says, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, truth. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. Well, I don't know of anything that fits that description other than the Word of God, the Bible. And so that's truth. So he's saying, fill your mind with truth. So now, hold on. So verse 6, Philippians 4, 6 is about prayer. Holy Spirit helps me pray. Verse 8 here is all about truth, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals that to me, teaches that to me, and reminds me of it. What's in between that? What's in between verse 6 on prayer, verse 8 is about truth. Holy Spirit helps me with both those. What's wedged in between those? Look at verse 7 up at the top of your handout. It says, "In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know what? You got verse 6, prayer, verse 8, truth, and wedged in between, an unexplainable peace. You know, if we're not attempting to connect with God through prayer and through His Word, if we're not attempting to connect with God daily through prayer and through the Word of God, how can we expect peace, internal peace at any level in our daily life and in our daily routine? You see, in many ways, you know, Clayton mentioned during the music last week, we said joy is a decision. We talked about how it's many ways it mirrors our message last week. We talked about how joy is found in Christ, true joy. And we talked about how joy is a decision. And really, in many ways, peace is the same way. Peace is a decision. In fact, if you look in your handout, see that verse, Philippians 4:9, that's the next verse. He says, do those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God, look at that, and the God of what? Peace will be with you. Peace is a decision. You see, peace is possible through problems. What we have to do, in your handout, it says when we put Christ at the center of our lives, when we seek him daily, peace will flood our hearts and minds. So what does that mean for us? Well, what that means is that your heart will be at rest. Instead of full of inner turmoil, your heart will be at rest. You know what that means? That means better and stronger relationships. That means that you'll have a better outlook on life. Remember, peace is a fruit of his Spirit working in your life. You can't get true peace any other way. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. How many of y'all think we should claim that promise, huh? This week, I want you to work on this. I want you to memorize these verses. I want you to really spend some time thinking about the peace of God that can flood your heart and your mind through Christ. Let's pray right now.